Minutes past 10, it's Tuesday morning. Here is a scary statistic for you. Every hour here in the southwest, around 90 people are going to be diagnosed with cancer. Now, of course, thanks to medical advances and a huge amount of research, more and more people are beating the disease, with survival rates almost doubling in the last 40 years. And if you've been through cancer, it's quite likely that when you've come out the other end, it has changed the way you view your life as well. Andy Gale is from Bridgewater. He had a wisdom tooth removed, little knowing that it would lead to a pretty awful cancer diagnosis, major surgery, and having to have 30% of his jaw replaced with steel and even bone from his shin. Oh, and then not just taking part in, but also winning a major amateur biking competition. Andy is with us this morning. Good morning.
Morning.
When you kind of list it in a paragraph like that, that's just a heck of a couple of years you went through, I'm thinking.
It was interesting. Never done it before. Never been put in that position before. So it was a very different couple of years of my life.
And as I say, it all kind of came about after a routine wisdom tooth, or what happened?
Yeah, the dentist had diagnosed it as an infected wisdom tooth that had to be removed. The x-ray machine was broken, so they couldn't x-ray to take the tooth out. So he said, come back in a few weeks' time when the machine's fixed. We'll x-ray you and then we'll take your tooth out. I went back in a couple of weeks. The x-ray machine still wasn't fixed. And it was at that point I said, well, I think we still need an x-ray from another x-ray machine, maybe in the town in Taunton. So we know what we're doing, because it's quite painful. Mm-hmm. And it needs to come out, and Christmas is just around the corner, and I don't really want to be going through Christmas with a big toothache if I can help it. So they sent the x-ray off. I went to another place to get x-rayed, and then I had to go back the following week for the results, at which point they said, yep, we're going to whip the tooth out, no problem. So I had to go into the drop-in centre on East Reach there, where you have your dental surgery, and they pulled the tooth out, and for the first time in a number of weeks, it didn't hurt. Over Christmas, it was supposedly meant to be healing, and we got into January, and it still wasn't healing. We got into the back end of January, where I go to an annual exhibition up in Birmingham, which I've just come back from now.
And this is in your business?
In my business.
You kind of work in furniture and that.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, so like the largest exhibition of the year. It's the springboard for the year for business, really. And the socket hadn't healed over and was still quite painful. So they sent me up to Musgrave Hospital to have it checked out. They wanted to stitch up the hole. To make sure that it healed correctly. Went into the operating theatre, as it were, opened my mouth, and the dentist took one look and said, I need a biopsy. Then all of a sudden your life changes slightly.
And at this point you need a biopsy, you know something serious is going on, but you don't know what it is.
You're undiagnosed, but you know that you're in the trouble.
Yeah.
You know that it's probably something a bit worse than a paper cut.
And how quick were they to work out what it was and then come up with a plan?
A couple of weeks. You get asked to come back and speak to the consultant about the results. So those 2 weeks, they're quite a difficult couple of weeks.
Yeah.
For anybody that has tests, and then you have to, and I'm pretty sure everybody's had a test of some kind and has to wait for a result. It's not a good time, but, that's how long it takes, and that's what you do. I do recall calling them up on the Friday before I was due for the results on the Monday, saying, look, I'm ready to race on this weekend and I need to race accordingly, depending on the results. Is there any chance you can give me the results today? And they said, no, unfortunately, the consultant is the only one that can do that. So I had to race accordingly.
And this is in your spare time. You love motorbiking.
Yes.
So you do racing all around the country.
Yes, yeah, off-road motorcycling, either enduro or rally, which is the same sort of thing that's just been on the TV now, the sort of Dakar Sahara rally type thing. I've done that a bit as well, and I was in the British Rally Championships.
So you raced that weekend. Did you have sort of like a newfound energy because you were kind of didn't know what you were facing?
No, I didn't get a very good result, because it was in the back of my mind that maybe if I hurt myself now, I probably won't do myself any favours if I need surgery somewhere else. So, you know, I didn't want them to have to fix a broken leg as well as my jaw. So I sort of rode accordingly.
Then you went in on the Monday and got the result.
Walked in on the Monday with my wife. And when you have six people in the consultancy room, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realise that you probably are not in a good place.
Yeah.
So Graham Merrick, my surgeon, fantastic man, tried to put across where we were. And I stopped him mid-sentence and said, Graham, with the most respect, please can you just give it to me without all the sugar on it? I'd much rather have it black and white, straight down the middle. Where are we? And then I know what I'm dealing with, I can get my head down and get on with it.
And then he told you?
And then he told me. And it was scary.
And what did he tell you? What did he say?
He said that where they've removed the wisdom tooth, it was actually cancer in your jaw, in your gum. If they hadn't removed the tooth, it wouldn't have gone down into the jaw because the tooth would have... Because as soon as you remove the tooth, you leave a hole behind.
Yeah, it's like unplugging, isn't it?
And it leaves a hole straight in your jawbone for the cancer just to go straight into your bone. So that's where we were. He said, we don't know how far down it's gone. We don't know which way it's crept, whether it's crept forward or whether it's crept backwards. We need to do some more tests. The long and the short of it is you're going to be in Exeter in a couple of weeks to have whatever we feel is correct removed, which in my case ended up being about 3 inches of jawbone.
And that's it. When you have 3 inches of jawbone removed, that's mm-hmm. that's a lot of jaw. That's your mouth. That's your job. That's your speaking. That's a lot of things.
It's your eating.
Yeah.
Everything. And you use your mouth for an awful lot of things. Mm. And it's not until you can't use it properly that you realise just how much you use it.
And it was a massive operation, wasn't it?
It was 12 hours in all, yeah. Which I was grateful for because I hadn't slept that long in years. So we had the operation and woke up in emergency department.
Yeah.
ICU. And unfortunately, with the drugs they give me, that it made me feel sick and I was sick. And that eventually showed its face, and the bone that they'd used in my leg to put into my jaw got infected.
Oh, gosh.
Which it would do if you just had your stomach contents poured onto a new wound.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, after about 3 weeks, they had to take that bone out because I was going into septicemia. So that left me now with just a steel plate between me and the outside world, which has, for the past 5 years, been fine.
And so in your head, as all of this is happening, fairly quick, you know, you've not had that long to get your head around all of it. What are you thinking? What are you going through in your mind?
I honestly looked at it like I do all my other injuries, because if you race motorcycles, sooner or later, you're going to fall off.
Yeah.
And I've broken a few bones in my time and I've had a few accidents. Can't call them accidents because it was my fault. If you're riding
incidents.
A bike, incidents, yeah. That's better, yeah. And I just looked upon it as an injury. I've injured myself, it's been repaired, just get your head down and get on with it. However, the remedial treatment was a totally different thing.
Okay, so what did that involve?
Chemotherapy and radiotherapy, both at the same time.
And that in itself is hard, irrespective of what you're going through?
I was told at the beginning, I had the operation, and then they give you 6 weeks to recover from the operation, and then they start either chemo or radiotherapy. But Graham Merrick said, Andy, you're strong enough to take both of these at the same time. And going back to the not sugarcoating anything, he said, if you thought you had a bad time in hospital, you wait till you get a load of this. So that was something that I'd never experienced before. Injuries I'd experienced, but chemo and radiotherapy I certainly hadn't experienced, and both of them at the same time I hadn't experienced. So we had to go to a plan B to get around that one.
And all the while you know that it is for your good, but it's not a nice thing to go through, is it?
That's the paradox of it all, is that every day you go into the radiotherapy department and they put you on a table and they put a mask over your face and they bolt you to the table so you can't move.
Yeah.
So that the radiotherapy is millimetre precise, because they need to hit the parts that they need to hit, but they don't want to hit the parts they don't need to hit.
Yeah.
So you go in every day, and the radiotherapy over a period of time is an accumulative thing. So if you can imagine, and I'm not sensationalising this, but trying to give it some sort of context for people that are listening, what it's like. You know when your mum told you that if you tell lies, you get a little spot on your tongue and it hurts?
Mm.
Well, and sometimes when you have an ulcer, and you get one ulcer and you put Bonjela on it to make it feel better. Well, my whole mouth was one ulcer. There was hundreds of them in there. So that would give you an idea of maybe sort of 5-6 weeks into the treatment where we were. My mouth was so sore and burnt from the radiotherapy that I physically couldn't eat.
Yeah.
The dietitian nurses said, Andy, halfway through this treatment, we've never seen anybody go through radio and chemo in this area without having to stop it because your body can't take it. So in a positive way, I turn that again into racing motorcycles, and anything you tell me I can't do, that's the best recipe for me. So what I did is I made sure that I continued to put weight on, even though I was going through what I was going through, by just not eating. I just used the recovery drinks that I use after I go mountain biking. So I just drank myself better by using protein drinks and recovery drinks.
And you were just determined to get through it?
The whole point for me was, if you stop the treatment halfway through, this thing's got a chance of coming back. If you hit it properly on the head, it ain't never coming back. So you just push on regardless and take the pain up front, knowing full well that long term it's going to serve you right. So with the chemo as well, that was a little bit tricky. First couple of weeks of chemo, I'm running around thinking, well, this chemo thing, I don't know what they're all talking about. I don't understand it. Week three was slightly different, I'll give you that. It was all of a sudden it started to kick in along with the radiotherapy, and quite frankly, for 2 months I felt terrible. But I've had 5 years of feeling wonderful, so just balance that up.
But whilst you are going through that, there's the physical side of it, of course, but the mental health effects it's going to have on you on a day-to-day basis. You're going to be positive one day, you're going to be negative the next day. You're surrounded by people who are all presumably rooting for you and cheering for you, and I guess that might be quite hard work in itself some days.
It is. In the hospital, I had quite a few visitors, and they had to move me to a different room because I did have quite a few of my mates were coming in, and my mates have a very similar outlook on life to me, which is try and keep things as happy as possible and be in as a jovial place as you can be. But you do have to be mindful that you're in a ward where there are people that are not as lucky as you are.
Mm.
So I was moved to an off-site room just to protect the other people in the ward, which is a fair point. But the state of mind, whilst you're in it, isn't too much of an issue because it's, I guess, a bit like when you go to war. You're at war with the illness, and it's when the war finishes, that's when the mental problems come along. At least they did for me.
So talk us through that. So you've had your treatment, you've had your operation, you've had the belts and braces, the chemo and the radiotherapy. You are in as good a place as you can be. What happens then?
Then it's all about me proving to the world that I'm back.
Okay.
And so I went back to work early. Earlier than I should have done.
And were you advised not to?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I was fed up with sitting at home by now.
Yeah.
But I went back to work to try and get some sort of normality back in your life, because normal life stops when you get cancer.
Mm.
You get onto that, what I call roller coaster ride. You strap yourself in, and until they tell you can get off, that's where you are. And when you get off, then normal life begins. But as I've learned over the years, when you've had cancer, life is never as normal as it used to be.
Yeah.
That is a gift that keeps on giving, I say.
So that changes your outlook on life?
I've always been quite sort of open-minded with regards to life, but I certainly am more driven now to help other people, and I'm certainly more driven toward my family to make sure that they're okay, and what is important is my family and my close friends.
And that is so lovely to be thinking that, but what a journey to get you there. All the while, you've got Your work, like you say, was on hold. Your motorbiking, I guess, was on hold. When did you think, you know, despite the fact my face has been through quite a lot, I'm going to go for it?
My daughter lives in New Zealand, and she was very worried about me. She's 20 now, but she will have been 15 at the time. She lives down there with her mother.
Yeah.
So during the treatment, what I would do was put my road cycle onto a turbo trainer in the garage, get changed into my cycling gear, sit on the bike and do maybe 1 minute of cycling whilst I was talking to her over Skype so that she knew I was okay, get off the bike and go back to bed.
Mm.
That way she didn't have to worry about me.
Yeah.
And most of my friends, I kept them away until I was out the other side. Now, nobody knows how you're going to react to this until it happens to you. That just happens to be how I reacted. And then I started to get back onto my mountain bike, bought myself a full face helmet now, because that's the responsible thing to do.
Yeah.
I spend more time on my mountain bike now than I do my motorbike, but my main drive and ambition after the illness was to come back and do rallying again and race the rally bike. So I entered the British Rally Championship and...
only went and won it.
And accidentally won it.
Which is brilliant. But I'm thinking for your family, who you had a newfound respect and understanding of, they must have had the similar thing for you. Were they all going to, hang on, don't do this. This is too dangerous.
That's why I married a psychiatric nurse.
Okay. See?
Ellie, my psychiatric nurse wife, whom I love dearly, 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 was the rock through all of it. And whatever I do, she's seen madder.
Well, I mean, it's incredible that you, and this was within 12 months of the op and the surgery and the all of the chemo and the radiotherapy. I mean, looking back, how do you sort of feel about how you dealt with it and, you know, that advice you were given, some of it that you took, some of it that you probably ignored?
Most of it I ignored, and I don't recommend that. It worked for me. But it doesn't work for everybody. I think everybody has to find their own way out of a situation like that.
Mm.
And the Right Now campaign for cancer relief is just about saying that once you are the other side, you are okay.
Yeah.
And things will be all right. You just have to go through a little bit of pain to get there.
Yeah. And you know, again, getting your head round what you've been through. Well, that could hit you like a year later. It could hit you 2 years later.
18 months for me. So I'm back racing and I did the winning thing, and then I thought, right, well, I've won now, so I hang the boots up and I'll just wobble around with the other fat guys that are my age, and I do a little bit of enduro racing. I sold my rally bike purely because I felt that was the right thing to do for the family, because rallying itself by definition is dangerous, even if you're fit and healthy and young. But to be doing it after what I've been through is probably irresponsible. So I do have a brain cell somewhere, and bought myself a motorcycle that I've always wanted all my life, and replaced the rally bike with a pleasing motorcycle. But I still ride my mountain bike every Saturday on the Quantock Hills, on the Mendip Hills, still jumping stuff and trying to be as silly as I can. But I know that's not going to kill me. It may break a bone, but I'm not going to die doing that.
Well, I mean, it is just incredible to hear you talking this morning about all that you went through. You said that you know, part of the coming out the other end is that you want to help other people, and that's the campaign that you're involved with the cancer. I guess you meet people who have been through something similar to what you've been through, and no two stories are the same.
Well, I'm meeting up with a lady from Bridgewater that's had the same operation as I've had, the same surgeon, and she, off the back of the Bridgewater Mercury, she wants to have a chat with me, so I'm meeting up with that young lady. And I'm sure that from this radio presentation now, that other people, and they're more than welcome to.
If they say we want to take part in a rally on a motorbike?
I'll take them onto that as well.
Okay, fair enough. Well, look, really nice to meet you this morning, Andy. Thank you so much for coming in.
No problem at all.
And sharing your story with us. That's Andy Gale, who, within a short space of time over Christmas, having a wisdom tooth removed, his life changed completely. if you have a similar story and you would like to share it with us, we would love to hear from you. You can call us 0800 678 1566 if you want to ring.